Well, thanks everyone for coming and joining us today, again through the lunch break, and especially for trekking all the way down to find these R rooms. My name is Holly Calhoun. I'm with the Healthy Farms, Healthy People Coalition, and it's a project of the Public Health Institute. And today I'll be talking about public health interest in the 2014 Farm Bill, and specifically looking at the effectiveness of multi-sector collaborations in driving policy reform. And I do just want to note, when I say across sectors, I'm speaking a little bit differently than the previous presenters, and not really necessarily nonprofit versus government, but also looking at different sectors of nonprofit work as well. So, as I said, my name is Holly Calhoun. I have no financial relationships or relevant commercial interest to disclose. So Healthy Farms, Healthy People is a broad-based collaborative that works for policy reform that benefits the health of all Americans and the economic and environmental viability of the food and agriculture sectors. And we do this through education and dialogue, convenings, and policy research and analysis. And I do just want to point out we have a number of resources on our website, which is listed up there, hfhpcoalition.org. Many of those we did in partnership with our sister organization, the National Network of Public Health Institutes, that's based here in New Orleans, and they've got some good, if you haven't gone to the exhibit booth yet, they've got some good tips on where to go see music and eat if you're hungry after this. But so check out the coalition website. Especially I think you'll be interested in our Finding Common Ground issue briefs. Those are introductory briefs that look at the topic of health and agriculture, and they can be good, particularly if you're starting to form partnerships across sectors. They introduce the topic from a couple of different perspectives. But some of you might be wondering why I'm talking about the Farm Bill. Can I get a show of hands of how many people do follow the Farm Bill? Okay, so a few folks, great. And others this might be a little bit more new for, so I'll try to kind of strike a balance to be informative for everyone. But for those of you who don't pay a lot of attention to agriculture policy, we all know an apple a day keeps the doctor away. And the fact is, the American public is not doing so good these days with keeping the doctor away in terms of our diet and proper nutrition for preventative health. And a lot of that is due to the food environment that we're surrounded to. So the public health environment is becoming increasingly sort of more and more engaged in agriculture policy, as I think, you know, I saw a lot of hands went up for a session which doesn't have a lot of topics on food, so that's very exciting. But for those of you who don't know, the Farm Bill is an omnibus piece of legislation that's reauthorized approximately every 5 years, and it really determines what crops are grown, how they're grown, and ultimately, really, then what we eat and what's available to eat in our communities. So, I'll go back, actually. The Agriculture Act of 2014, as it's known specifically, was signed into law on February 7th by President Obama, and this came after years of lengthy and tortured negotiations. This was really not a typical Farm Bill process. And that's due to a number of reasons, but one of the most notable things that was different about it was that it really broke down on partisan lines, as when traditionally farm policy has come down to more geographic lines. So you'll have sort of different commodity groups in the past that were negotiating to try to get different things, say, you know, southern peanut farmers versus the needs of the Corn Belt. This Farm Bill really had a lot of partisan politics, particularly around the SNAP, or the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, food stamps. So a lot of the Republicans wanted even more cuts to SNAP. Democrats wanted no cuts or not very many. And this led to this very unusual process where the Farm Bill actually, the 2008 Farm Bill expired. The House of Representatives sort of split off the nutrition program from the rest of it, and then they merged it all back together during the Farm Bill conference. So it's a little convoluted. But when we take a look at what really is entailed in the Farm Bill, 80% is for nutrition, which is really primarily food stamps. So this is obviously of great interest to the public health community. Other topics that are included in there include conservation, crop insurance, commodities, and other, which is the sort of miscellaneous rural development, research, credit, trade, forestry, energy, horticulture, and things like that. But really the bulk of it is going to nutrition. So particularly in this past farm bill, when you saw a lot of politics around being fiscally conservative and trying to cut money, that's a pretty big piece of the target there. So we'll talk. I'll talk now a little bit about the different stakeholders in the farm bill. So particularly interested in the nutrition title are the public health community and just sort of anti-hunger community. And while we share a lot in common, they don't always, we don't always see eye to eye on things. And so in this particular farm bill, those communities did a really good job of collaborating together, applying some lessons learned from the last child nutrition reauthorization or the Healthy Hunger Free Kids Act, in which they were sort of pitted against each other. This time around, public health and anti-hunger were able to say, we have a lot more in common than we have different. There may be some differences when you look at, for example, whether or not, what foods should be eligible. Should I be able to buy soda with food stamps or things like that? We might get into disagreement. However, when we're talking about just making sure people get the food stamps to begin with, then we can agree. And so that was the level we're operating on. And we saw some really good, successful partnership. Particularly with the anti-hunger community, really rallying the call for no cuts to SNAP, and the public health being able to echo that messaging, but also then the public health community being able to get into some other levels of the nutrition program, like, for instance, the SNAP Ed or nutrition education programming, which is of a lot of interest to, especially to my organization. So we were able to sort of successfully work to keep their cuts from that program. And so who are some of the other farm bill stakeholders? We've got under agriculture, your sort of conventional agriculture, specialty people that are kind of advocating on behalf of specialty crop growers, which are, sounds really fancy, but it's just fruits, vegetables, tree nuts. So it's really the kind of crops that we in the public health profession care most about. You have people working on conservation issues, which again really relates back to public health. If you look at wanting to protect, for example, protect wetlands so that our waters can be channeled out healthily and not cause floods, and others kind of environmental health issues. And then you have folks working on sustainable and local and regional agriculture, sort of your, there's a lot of overlap with those, but you can kind of think of your farmers market advocates, or some of you might be familiar with the National Sustainable Agriculture Coalition, or people might engage on sort of farm-to-school issues, and then folks working for socially disadvantaged farmers and ranchers and farm workers, which comes into sort of social justice lens, which again is of great interest to us in public health, where we're constantly talking about the social determinants of health, health disparities, and sort of more and more incorporating equity issues throughout how we're working on public health. And so certainly I think when you look at farm workers particularly, there's a, that really takes it beyond nutrition of why we should care about agriculture issues when folks are being exposed to pesticides or being having to work long hours and without necessarily getting adequate shade or water or issues like that. And I will actually, I'll get into that later. So if we get a little bit deeper into the nutrition title, there were cuts to the SNAP program in this last farm bill. And like I said, though, even though we were able to collaborate with our colleagues in the anti-hunger community, there were cuts through a mechanism that it's called heat and eat, most commonly, is how you might have heard of it, which basically streamlined the food stamp application process for folks who are receiving assistance on their energy bills. So that was kind of removed, which cut the SNAP program. We were able to, as I said, maintain SNAP Ed funding. There was a positive move in increasing stocking requirements for SNAP retailers. So for a retailer to be eligible to accept SNAP benefits, there's an increase in the type of the variety of foods that they had to make available, and specifically requiring more of those to be non-perishable foods. We saw the passage of the Healthy Food Financing Initiative, which creates funding to open grocery stores and food deserts, and particularly a program that I want to speak to a little bit more details. We established the Food Insecurity Nutrition Incentive Grant Program, or what's called FINNE for short. And so that program really built on work that has been done particularly with the between public health, the farmers market, and kind of local regional food systems advocates to take a program that was developed. How many of you have heard of sort of Double Up Food Bucks or Market Match or sort of SNAP bonus programs? Okay, great. So these programs offer folks who are shopping at farmers markets primarily, though offered a little bit in other places, bonus dollars if they're buying fresh fruits and vegetables with their food stamps or WIC or things like that. And so a number of nonprofit organizations have been doing this work on the ground for the past, you know, I don't know, 5 or so years, I would say, and they've seen a lot of success. So this is a great example of being able to uplift something that was showing great success in communities across the country and actually get it implemented into federal policy. And that was took a lot of collaboration from a number of different folks. As I said, the folks sort of on the ground running the markets, the other advocates from the public health community along with the agriculture community, and particularly a lot of building the sort of evidence base to make the case to have implement this program through the Farm Bill. So a number of the major players in this program collaborated together to do a long-term cluster evaluation study that looked at the benefits of these programs at markets in different states. It was really hard to kind of look at because these markets or the programs function a little bit differently in different states. But they came up with a mechanism to sort of evaluate across the different program models and really make a great case for inserting this program in the federal Farm Bill. And they're now actually issuing grants, and the deadline is December 15th, for folks to apply for this funding to do more of these programs in their communities. And so when we look at, you know, the working on the Farm Bill, it's not just about advocating for policy in the Farm Bill, but now we're looking at the implementation side of this funding's coming out in communities, and there's a real role for a public health community to play, particularly in helping to make sure that these programs are implemented in strong ways in communities and then evaluated over the next several years so that we can really make a case coming around to the next Farm Bill to hopefully expand the programs, if assuming that they're doing well. But particularly when we look at public health partnership with some of these other sectors, like the sort of nonprofit sustainable agriculture sector, evaluation and sort of research are great things that the public health community can provide to those folks, and a great way of partnering. I'll also mention a lot of those partnerships on the community level are being done through food policy councils. So I don't know how many of you are familiar with your local food policy council, or if you have one in your city or your state, but those are great ways. I see some heads nodding. So those are great ways of engaging with folks who are working on food issues and could really benefit from having somebody with the public health perspective who can provide that sort of technical evaluation and also, frankly, add a lot of credibility to programs or policies that they end up implementing. I know in Los Angeles, the Food Policy Council had a lot of help from their local health department in coming up with the nutrition guidelines for a procurement policy, which is like one of the most robust procurement policies in the country that's been adopted by the City of Los Angeles and the Los Angeles Unified School District, which is second largest school district in the country, and that really wouldn't have been possible for them to get that passed without having the public health department come in and help author the nutrition guidelines, provide testimony to say, to really, frankly, lend credibility to what the Food Policy Council wanted to do. So those are other really effective ways you can partner with other sectors on food issues. And now I'll talk a little bit about some of the other, outside the sort of typical nutrition title I mentioned, specialty crops earlier. The Specialty Crop Alliance was formed back in the 2008 Farm Bill as a coalition of 120 organizations to really get support for specialty crops. As I said, you know, those are the fruits and vegetables really that we need to eat to be healthy. And they have historically not gotten much support from federal farm policy. So that there was great success in the 2008 Farm Bill of a collaboration between public health, agriculture, conservation, other folks, and that was continued through this 2014 Farm Bill. This map just shows how the specialty crop production breaks down across the country, and it touches back to the issue I mentioned previously that sort of in the past, really agriculture policy came down to geography, not partisan politics, because folks can grow certain products in certain areas, right? And so they're trying to come up with supports for what they can grow. So specialty crops, you know, function well in these states here. You'll see notably the sort of Midwest, right? They're not growing a lot of specialty crops, so they're not really advocating for that. But some of the there's a specialty crop block grant program that some of you might be familiar with, but that's been used to do some really cool things that are positive for public health, like funding farm-to-school programs, funding different farmers market programs. Again, really positive ways of kind of partnering with the sustainable agriculture community. Also touch real quickly, I know I'm running short on time, the conservation title of the Farm Bill has some more provisions that are positive for public health. In this particular 2014 Farm Bill, the conservation community had to build a pretty broad base of support to get conservation compliance tied to crop insurance because they've changed the direct payment subsidy and doing away from that to transition to more of a crop insurance-based model, and conservation compliance had previously been attached to that other subsidy mechanism, so it now is tied with crop insurance due to the work on the conservation community to partner with a number of different folks. The Environmental Quality Incentives Program funds things like hoop houses, which there's a picture of there, which helps regions which get a little bit colder, right, to grow fruits and vegetables, extend their growing season. And there's other programs around beginning farmer and rancher development and local and regional food systems. And I'll just note here also, conservation only became a title in the Farm Bill in 1985. And that was in large part because of the conservation and environmental community that was the sort of environmental movement that was picking up steam advocated really hard to get more conservation mechanisms in the Farm Bill. So I think that that's a sort of a positive model that we in public health might want to follow is, you know, the more we can kind of, like, we have the sort of nutrition title, which is food stamps and food insecurity, but if we really rally hard around agriculture policy, we could see even, like, a public health title in there with lots of different innovative type of things that we would want to see. And again, there's a great need to partner on issues around equity for farm workers and socially disadvantaged farmers and ranchers. Another positive that came out of the Farm Bill from partnering with folks who work with smaller scale farmers was to get crop insurance availability for fruit and vegetable growers. This has been really challenging if you grow a diverse number of crops. In the past, it's been really difficult to get crop insurance, and now those folks can get it. And if folks are interested in getting involved in this national conversation with folks who are working on these issues from the equity and social justice and sustainable agriculture perspective, there's a sort of a collaborative called Getting Our Act Together on the Farm Bill, and they do information sharing phone calls every week. So there's more information at that website there. And I guess I'm over time, so real quick, I do want to just put a plug that the Child Nutrition Reauthorization Act is coming up in 2015, but right now there's also a big need to defend what was already obtained in the last 2008 Healthy Hunger Free Kids Act. So I think, again, we're sort of applying lessons we learned with public health and anti-hunger working together. We are stronger and we have more in common, and so there's a need to really rally together to defend, for example, the gains we won in the school nutrition programs. So with that, I'll close. Thank you.